Well, every now and then we have a service that is just filled with all kinds of activity. Over the top. It's overflowing with life, with goodness, with more than we can handle in our own minds. Too much. Today is one of those Sundays. In some ways, it's fitting that there's a lot going on this morning, because on that very first Palm Sunday, Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem, and there was a lot going on. Try to imagine the day. Jesus is riding on the back of a young colt or donkey, depending on your translation. And I'm convinced that he had garnered a lot of support from a lot of people, not just his disciples. Many others were there. Some were true disciples. Others were just there to kind of gawk at what was going on that day. Curious onlookers. But it's clear to me, at least, that Jesus had created a public buzz. There were many who were interested in seeing his entering into Jerusalem. And it was this following, primarily a Jewish following, that set the stage for the crucifixion. One of the problems that I had with Mel Gibson's movie, most of you probably saw it, The Passion of Christ, is that there really is no context. We don't get how Jesus arrived at that moment, and that's really important. There's a lot going on before the Passion. This was a part of that. And what I hope you understand is that it's important to be clear about the historical kinds of dimensions and dynamics that were created in this particular situation. My sense is that the crowds, the popularity that was surrounding Jesus, all of this was viewed by the Romans as a threat. So it may not surprise you that there were some political trappings in all of this. So what did they do every time there was a possibility for a Jewish revolt? Well, they tried to put it out. They didn't want an uprising. They wanted to extinguish the fires of rebellion. No insurrection. It's not so much who killed Jesus, but what killed Jesus. And what killed Jesus was the fear and the oppressive powers of Rome. And in a way, you can understand that by looking at the first Palm Sunday. Jesus is riding through the city. Suddenly there's this spontaneous outpouring of celebration. It just erupts, and I love this Palm Sunday. I love the fact that there was this unbelievable outpouring and celebration. It's pure joy. It's excitement. It's worship. It's adoration at its best. It's enthusiasm. And I'd like for us to get a little bit more of enthusiasm in the church. Wouldn't that be nice? A little bit of excitement about what Jesus is doing. And so we do Palm Sunday, and unfortunately, only the kids get to do the fun stuff. You know, I want to get excited, don't you? You know? I want to eat the candy. Yeah, I do. I like that too. Yeah. But there's this enthusiasm. There's this excitement. There's this pure joy and celebration. Anybody here need a little pure joy and celebration? Man, UVA got beat. North Carolina lost too, and it's like, oh man, my life is terrible now. Who wants to root for Kentucky? Go Notre Dame. Even the Catholics are all right. You know, let them win. Man, they even got beat. So, you know, we need a little excitement, a little enthusiasm, a little joy. And if all places to have enthusiasm and joy and celebration, why not here? Right? You know, somebody told me, we don't like to go to churches where they get too enthusiastic. And I said, yeah, I don't think we have to worry about that. I think a little enthusiasm might actually help us a little bit. Reminds me of the Presbyterian, and the woman got excited, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of her, and she started yelling out. Do you remember this? One of the elders in the Presbyterian church went back to her and said, "Ma'am, we don't do those kinds of things here." And she said, "I can't help it." She said, "I found Jesus." And he said, "Well, you didn't find him here." I love... We get to do this stuff with the Presbyterians, so I call them the Frozen Chosen. I said, "You guys, poor Brent, he has to take all of my stuff. He's a pastor at the Presbyterian church, so. Anybody here need a little hope? See what's behind those words? What's behind that enthusiasm? What's behind that celebration? It's hope. I love hope. And I think you love hope too. Because hope is the oxygen of the human spirit. And that's why I believe that the enlightened heart is a hopeful heart. Are you living with hope? So I trust you can understand what I'm about to say to you this morning. I think that when hope fills up your life, when it fills up your heart, and you can wave those palms, believing, reveling, celebrating what God is about to do, then you've got hope. And that Palm Sunday hope was right and wrong. On the one hand, the people were wrong because you see what they wanted and what they were hoping in about Jesus wasn't exactly right. I think they believed that it was a combined military parade and religious tent revival that was taking place, and they were hoping that Jesus had come to overthrow the Romans. They believed Jesus were from God, but they believed that the will of God was to overthrow the Romans. They believed they wanted peace. But for them, peace meant the end of Roman occupation. Can you blame them? They'd been bullied and persecuted and oppressed and rejected and ridiculed by Rome for decades, and they wanted a Savior who would stand up to the power of Rome and overthrow the Roman power. And they wouldn't have to live this miserable life anymore. And they thought, they hoped, that Jesus was just the right person for that. And so they celebrated. And Jesus came in, and they shouted, and they praised God. And they believed, and they hoped. Finally, our King has come. A religious leader who's strong enough and so connected to God that there's no way but that God will cause him to overthrow the Roman Empire. And so do you see why the Romans so quickly extinguished Jesus? in a way, their Palm Sunday hopes were wrong because Jesus didn't do what they wanted him to do. Yet something else needs to be said. Even though their hopes were wrong, there was something beautifully right about it. I'm glad they had the courage to exercise hope. I'm glad they had the courage to celebrate and wave palm branches that day. I'm glad they had the courage to express their exuberance and their enthusiasm and their belief that God could do the impossible. I'm glad they had this capacity to celebrate the presence of Jesus that day, because even though God did not do in Jesus what they hoped God would do, God nevertheless did do something incredible. And it was bigger than they imagined, didn't he? And yes, Jesus was different from what they expected, but more than they could have ever known. Palm Sunday reminds us that there's a place for hope in life, and not only hope, but there's a place for this outlandish kind of hope in life. It's this big, wild, audacious hope. It's a place for foolish hope. It's a place for hopes and dreams and that may never, ever be completed, but there's still a place for hopes and dreams with God. Isn't there? Isn't there a place to pray the impossible prayers? And don't you want to? Isn't there a place to dream of the impossible dream? But dream it anyway. There's a place in our hearts for not just surviving day after day, but for actually dreaming of a better life for ourselves and for our friends and for our family and for our church and for our world. Don't you want to? Don't you want to? I want to say to each of you today, I don't care what you're going through in life. You got to hang on to hope. Don't ever stop hoping. Don't give up on your dreams. And if you've lost some hopes, then create some new ones, okay? And if you've gotten discouraged about some of your hopes, then ask God to resurrect those hopes. And if you've gotten lazy about some of your hopes, then do something this week so that you can move toward them. And don't be afraid to adjust them sometimes. Because hope is what changes life. And what we once hoped for might be different now. And that's okay too. That doesn't mean we can't create new hopes. We can't create new dreams. We can't long for God to be more involved in our lives, in our church, in our world. We can't dream about a better world to live in, to be in. And instead of trying to describe hope this morning, I want to share a picture of hope. I picked up a book I was reading during Lent, and it's by Donna Markova. It's I Will Not Die, An Unlived Life. In a story from her little book, she writes about a time when she was in the hospital. She was being treated for cancer. And some of you know exactly what that's like. She said there was a large Jamaican woman who came through at night to sweep the floors and clean her room. You know what I'm talking about? Donna says that out of the 50 or so people that she interacted with in the hospital during that time, this woman made the most difference. This cleaning woman each evening she would come in and she would clean the room, and then she would stand beside her bed and just breathe in and out. I listened to her breathing. She said it brought calm to my chaotic world of cancer. I think she was praying, but she didn't say anything. One night, she said, the woman reached down and she took one of my feet into her hands, the only part of my body that wasn't hurting, she said, and she gently massaged my feet. What she remembers most is that one night she came in with her broom in hand and she stood there looking at my sick, weakened body and said quietly but firmly, "You are more than the sickness in your body." That's all she said. And then the next night she returned and said, "You are more than the pain in your body." And the next night she said, "You are more than the fear in your body." And this went on night after night. Markova writes in her book that it's been 3 decades since she saw that beautiful Jamaican woman, but her words became like little seeds of love, compassion, hope. Hope. Friends, I want you to hang on to this today because you will never know when you will need to use it. Hope is believing that we are more than where we are. Are you hearing me? Hope is believing that we are more than what we are feeling or what's happening to us right now. That's hope. It's a belief that God can still do something good with your life. And there are a lot of people who don't have hope. You are more than your financial problems. You are more than your depression. You are more than your job. You are more than your doubt. You are more than your hurt. You are more than your mistakes. You are more than your abuse. You are more than your addiction. You are more than your divorce. You are more than your car and your house and your savings account. You are more than your past. And hope gives us a dream of becoming and a belief that God can help that to happen. That's the wisdom I take with me on Palm Sunday. I want to leave you with 2 thoughts. If you are here today and you've lost hope for yourself, two words, you hang on. You hang on. Don't you ever give up on God. And the second word is this: God is hanging on to you. You may not feel it or realize it, but God is never, ever going to let you go. Never. And if you got a chance, folks, and you can say a good word to somebody, don't pass it up. Because you just don't know what kind of difference you might make. You know it? People need an encouraging word. People need hope. We need to dream of a better world and live into it so it can happen. You know somebody who's looking for a little hope today? Well, it's Palm Sunday, so get a little enthusiastic. Why not? Even we Baptists can do it, I think. A little joy, a little encouragement, a little excitement. I was walking in the mall this past week with a guy who had a stroke named Jesse. Jesse doesn't know I'm using it as a sermon illustration, but I don't think he'll mind. Jesse walked pretty slow, and I walked with him. He said, you know, if you want to, you can go a little faster. I can't go very fast. I said, Jesse, I'd just soon walk with you. He said, I don't have any family here. Do you know what? I don't have any friends either. He said, you know, I think I've just about given up. This has just been too much. He said, I need to sit down. I said, can I sit with you? He said, if you want to. Then you know what he said? He said, tell me about Easter. Tell me about the resurrection, he said. I said, yeah, it's all about new life, Jesse. It's all about new life. I need new life, he said. I know. And we did something. I don't know if you're supposed to do this in the mall or not, but you know what? We prayed together. Right there. And he said to me before he left, will you be my friend? I'll be your friend, Jesse. Anytime you want to walk, I'm here every day. Thank you for being my friend. You think there are people out there who need a little hope? I believe there are. Happy Palm Sunday, folks. Happy Palm Sunday. Praise God. He's going to do a great thing, isn't He? Let's pray. God, You're about to do something wonderful, magnificent in our lives. And we come this day to celebrate all that You're about to do. We can't fully understand it, but we have a faith and a trust and a hope in You that goes beyond our understanding, goes beyond our life situation, and we look to You, God, because we know that in You, God, there is hope. There is a future and a purpose. And we praise You and we thank You, God, because we know that we are more than our life situation, and that through You we can battle and overcome anything, everything. Be with us this day and let us make a new commitment to You to rebuild our lives on hope and to offer that hope freely to the world. In the name of Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen.